All right, Jim, so I am curious, what does the outside temperature have to be for you to put on a pair of long johns before you leave the house?
Long johns. Oh, gosh. Man, probably in the teens, the animal, in the teens, I would have to say. I don't even know if I have a pair of long johns. Do you still have long johns living down by the coast down there? Do you have emergency johns?
I actually do have a pair that it would, you know, it's kind of like anything that you wear underneath your clothes. You're very happy that most people don't ever get to see this stuff. Because mm-hmm. I have a pair of long johns that I must have bought about 10 years ago. And if you remember, I used to carry a little bit more weight, a little bit more on this lanky frame of mine. And the elastic band on these long johns are reminiscent of that time period. They are way too big. And I have to put them on and then quickly put my jeans on or slacks
mm-hmm.
and get the belt tight, or they will just drop to my knees underneath the pants. And then sometimes when I'm out in public walking, they will have loosened up a little bit and they'll start slipping mid-thigh. So I'm actually walking around with long johns that have fallen well below the waist and are in danger of actually going past the knee and getting into a crumple.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Not a good look.
But yeah, I mean, we do get a cold spell or two, usually around this time, January, maybe late December, where it drops into the teens. You know, it'd be pretty cold in the morning, and we're not always prepared for that. So, not the best question to open up with.
I love it. I just don't know where to go
with it. All right.
Long johns.
Okay, Jim.
I love it. Yes.
When you're out to eat,
uh-huh.
Do you feel like pre-busing has become a thing of the past? And I feel like it's possible that I may have asked a question similar to this a long time ago. But do you think it's lost its art form? And do you ever find yourself, say, a Waffle House, and it's a really nice server and very friendly person, and she comes around towards the end of the meal, hey, can I get you anything? Are you guys good? Yeah, a couple boxes would be great. Okay, here you go. And then she comes back with the boxes, the containers, but you still got there's no room to set anything yeah. and strategize here, and you just want to scream. I mean, not scream at this person, but you just kind of want to point out the obvious. Could you just take two of these plates away that are the bacon's gone. It's just a plate with a grease layer. Can you just get that out of here? Does this bother you, or do you spend much time thinking about it?
No, you know, as a former restaurant guy, absolutely. The lack of pre-bussing drives me crazy. I lay that at the feet of managers and general managers and whatnot. It's just not something that's, you know, made a priority. But these people have to understand, the more you pre-bus, the quicker your table gets cleaned when these people get up, and the faster you get another table, the more money you can make.
Wow, that's straight out.
That's how I would see it.
Out of the old playbook there, Jim.
That's right. You know it.
Jim, speaking of a Waffle House, do you spend much time there?
At the Waha? I even though there's one, you know, literally right down the street, I don't go very often to the Waffle House. I like Waffle House, but it's like they're perpetually busy, which is good for them. But, you know, I found several greasy spoons around that basically have the same, pretty much the same stuff. They're a little higher quality, but and are almost as inexpensive, you know. If you want me to get some free advertising out here, I will. But there's a couple places real close to here that have grits and coffee and all that stuff for a good price. But and also, you know, we're not young gents anymore, so Waffle House was always a clutch when it was two or three in the morning. and you've gone to a bar or something after being at work at one of these restaurants where we pre-bust. So we would find a Waffle House and, just not being out anymore. So yeah, I don't really go very much anymore, man. But now you brought it up, I'm kind of hungry for Waffle House. I may go after our podcast ends, after our recording ends.
Well, we've got multiple Waffle Homes between houses in a 20-mile radius where I live. So there's always an opportunity coming down the highway to just, why don't we pull in there? That's I find it with the kids that if you're a parent number one, parent number two, your ultimate preference for dining will never be met. You'll never get to go where you want to go because one person in the car can't eat that or won't eat that offering. So I have to go. I don't have to, but we spend a lot of time at the Golden Arches. We spend a lot of time at these well-established and reputable chain eateries, dining establishments. And we went to Waffle House today. Was not my first, second, third, or seventh choice. But we took the kids there. Kind of like when you go to Waffle House, I feel like there's enough racket. You it's going to be loud enough that if your kids, I know your daughter is getting older, but if you had a small child or a gaggle of them, I feel like people know as a family, we can go in there and it doesn't really matter how loud or rambunctious my kids are. They're just going to blend into that, the clanking and the low hum, the constant hum of that kitchen equipment.
The cacophony, is that the word for it?
Cacophony.
Cacophony.
Yeah.
I've always wondered how the heck, have you ever actually asked, and man, it might be an interesting podcast for you to have like a Waffle House chef on. I've always wondered how those guys can remember orders that are just screamed out at them. How the heck do they do that? Do they have a little system or something? Or
man, they
are these some of the...
They do not get enough respect.
I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah, and there's always that low din in there, tile floor, all windows. You're not going in there for a romantic, quiet dinner. It's loud. That's great when you have kids because you don't feel like you're the one person in the restaurant bothering everybody with your kids screaming or yelling or whatever. So,
who's the Auburn coach? Was it Malzahn that liked to celebrate at Waffle House after an Auburn victory?
Yeah, I guess.
However infrequent those were when.
Very infrequent. He made a lot of money off him. One thing Gus was good was with managing his money. So, we paid him like $20 million not to coach. And he made sure to eat at Waffle House so he could save all of his cheddar. Punk.
Well, just in case you are new to the show or newer to the show, this is the Dan Time Podcast. It's episode, ready for this, Jim, number 80.
Wow.
And Jim Powell is the featured guest. He's also kind of like SNL when they bring people back. I don't know who the very first guest was. I don't know if this might be the fifth.
I'm a Five Timers Club. I love it. Keep your heart out.
But Jim Powell, the very first guest, episode one, August of 23. And here he is again, the very first guest of 2025.
Hi, everybody. It's me.
Jim.
Look who's back.
Look who's back. Tell a friend. How does it go?
Jimmy's back. Jimmy's back. Tell a friend. Jimmy's back. Jimmy's back. Jimmy's back.
Let me ask you something, Jim. Well, a couple questions.
Okay.
I know it's a big deal for me to feature you on this podcast. Do you feel like you're a big enough deal to be a multiple, to be called on multiple times to come back? Do you kind of get where I'm going, where I'm coming from, and you just, You get the message, you get the call from me, and you think, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then you hang up and you think, yeah, I get it. I know why he wants me. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I'm going to deliver. Or do you think, I'll do it, but I don't see what Dan sees in me?
No, man. I know how awesome I am. Are you kidding me? So you're asking somebody who's been on your podcast 5 times who isn't named Jim whether or not he likes to hear the sound of his own voice? Of course I do. Yes, I know how important I am and how great I am. Oh, gosh. Boy, that makes me sound like crap, but absolutely I know how important I am.
You know your worth.
Come on. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but I love you, buddy. I mean, you're my guy. So, and I enjoy Dan time. And, you know, to be on here in the, you know, the hallowed halls and share these hallowed halls with musicians of all kinds and not to be named Dan and be the number one man on your podcast that's devoted to Dan's is pretty awesome. So I appreciate it.
Well, it was kind of an accident to start out with you as the very first guest.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have had it any other way. I think it's perfect for the show.
It is. And I enjoy our rapport. If I can ever get you to move to Birmingham, we can do in person. Or if you just come visit ever again, we should do an in-person podcast.
Yeah, I used to visit more often before this thing called running a family started becoming a necessity.
These little rugrats. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Isn't it time they work themselves and pay their own bills and stuff? I mean, isn't that happening soon?
I've started to get Warren to take out the trash. We actually team.
We're, earn your keep.
We carry the trash out, and he holds the drawstrings, which then forces me to actually handle the
bottom of
the bag.
You have to hold it from the bottom?
To get it up into the...
Goo? Oh, what if it's got goo on the bottom of it?
There's a lot of nasty things that you just get desensitized to all the things that your hands
yeah.
are forced yeah. to touch. How many times when ever was young did you have to get up from a meal? How many times did you have to go change a diaper in the middle of a nice steak? You ever just cut into something and then you're at a restaurant and you realize that there's a bathroom emergency for your toddler?
Oh, gosh.
What a terrible question.
No, that's a good question. I mean, you know, we only had one, so that's a lot different. I know people are going to be like, shut up, buddy. Everybody says that, but Ever was really good. I mean, literally one time do I remember us ever having to basically pack up the food as soon as it got there and leave. But not because she was sick. She was just so pissy, like just crying and screaming, you know. And I think it ended up being that she had an ear infection or something like that. But, I mean, like I said, I know everybody will say that. And we just have one, so it's one-third as much as little a chance as you or Travis, you know, having one of your kids pitch a fit. And my God, I couldn't imagine having to have, you know, three of them in high chairs at the same time. Do y'all even go out to eat, you and Natalie and the kids?
Oh, you should see it. It's getting marginally better. But today was no walk in the park. Looking back to 2 years ago, that was probably 2022, 2023. And I mean, it's not like 2024 was that easy, but it was pretty rough.
Can y'all all go somewhere in the same vehicle, or do they have, you know, like...
We have actually
started... Do they all have to be in car seats?
Yes. Okay. Two car seats and a booster.
Oh, Lord.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And then...
And so y'all can all fit in the same vehicle with all that. It's fun.
A couple months ago, we were going somewhere that we always go, and I just made the decision. I said, Natalie, we're taking two cars. We're going to save an argument here. We're going to save our marriage. We're taking two cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like what happened last weekend. And I think she was glad that I offered that. I said, we have to split these children up.
Yeah. Is that how you've done it since?
No, actually, we all traveled together today. It wasn't good. It wasn't great always, but it was, we got home. We got back in one piece.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. That's a lot, though. Hey, let me go back to, I got a question for you. I love your questions, but let me throw one at you. You said you and Warren would tag team the garbage. Yeah. Who was your favorite 1980s WWF tag team?
Man.
Ooh.
I'd start with the Rockers.
Oh, yeah. Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels.
I mean, you really want to see some
Rock and Roll Express.
High energy, high flying wrestling moves. Yeah, Jannetty and Michaels. But I think, so that was like in the very beginning. Then I really got to say Demolition for maybe the heart of that period that I was into the WWF at that time.
Okay.
And then probably a little bit towards the end, I would say Rhythm and Blues.
Tugboat and Typhoon. Tugboat and Typhoon.
You remember?
It was a honky tonk. Who was that? Wait a minute.
You got to listen.
Tonk?
I'm really happy you brought this up.
And who else?
Greg, yeah. The Hammer Valentine.
Oh, God.
I'm glad you mentioned this, Jim, because Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard is probably still my all time favorite podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And there's an episode, I think you got to go back a ways, but it's either just a broad brush on tag teams or they cover Rhythm and Blues and how Valentine really was not on board with dyeing his hair black, his trademark blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, he had to dye his hair black.
Some of the decisions that Vince made, obviously they went over really well, good business moves for the company, and some of them you're just thinking, was that really necessary?
Mm-hmm. You had a great idea, pal.
But I
dye your hair black. Tag with Honky.
I think the one that really got me going as a kid, I'm going to say Demolition.
Okay. I like it.
Here comes the axe. Here comes the smasher.
Here comes the smash.
The Demolition, walking disaster. Pain and Destruction is our middle name. That's the part of the song where it's like, well, that's not really a middle name. That's three words. Pain and Destruction.
Is our middle name.
Is our middle name singular.
So they could have said Pain and Destruction are our middle names.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have really messed the song up, right? Or is that grammatically incorrect? I'm so bad at grammar, man.
Well, what about
Pain and Destruction are our middle names.
I love the question, though, Jim. What about you?
Oh, man, mid-80s tag team. I'm with you. You know, a lot of guys got thrown together just because they didn't have anything for them to do as singles wrestlers. So I wasn't a big fan of that. But, man, like when Hogan and Ultimate Warrior teamed up to take on Macho Man, and who else? Was it Brutus the Barber?
Yeah.
Who was it that Hogan and Warrior teamed up? Oh, that was phenomenal.
That might have been it, yeah.
Yeah, but as for guys that were probably the Boss Man and the Mountie, weren't they a team for a while?
Yeah.
I loved that. That was a good one. And for real, Tugboat and Typhoon, just fat guys, man. You got to love the fat guys.
How about
any of those?
Wasn't there a tag team with, I'm thinking of something else. I was going to say Andre the Giant and Bad News Brown, but they really, in real life, did not like each other.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that on Something to Wrestle, for sure.
But I love that you brought this up. I have pleaded with people to listen to Something to Wrestle, even if you don't, if you haven't watched wrestling in 25 years, or you don't really like it, but you're kind of mildly interested, and you know, if someone says Macho Man, you know who they're talking about, or that somebody says Hogan, of course, or The Rock, you know about 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 names. That's mm-hmm. all you need. Listen to it, and you're just gonna. I don't know. It's the chemistry between Bruce and Connie, between Bruce and Conrad.
Yeah, you.
That's what JR calls him.
Lovey named.
You ever hear? You listen to Grilling JR?
Mm-mm.
He calls him Connie. Oh.
Well, Connie, sassafras. I just love Bruce Richards' impersonations of him.
But some of the episodes aren't as good as others, but there's one.
Agreed.
One that I really like is the, I think it's the Montreal screw job. It could be mm-hmm. broken up into parts 1 and 2, but go back and look for that one. It's pretty awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
But you turned me on to that podcast, and that was probably one of the first ones going back to 2017, 18 that I listened to regularly. That was my show.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. I enjoy it. I don't listen to it as much because I feel like even though the topics seem like they can be limitless, they've kind of run out of stuff. And, you know, Bruce is on hiatus right now. So it's been a minute since I listened to it. But I still look and see if there's something that really catches my eye. I love the ones that they do, you know, just about super random stuff like Tatanka.
Yeah.
You know, that was not the best episode, but I love that kind of junk. So,
One thing I would say, I want to wrap up this topic, but I can't seem to convince Travis to listen to it. I don't know if I've convinced anybody else. Here really is the reason why you should check it out. So Conrad Thompson comes at this subject in a way that I've never heard anybody come at it before. And he basically asks Bruce Pritchard, if you go back to the early, especially the early episodes,
mm-hmm.
he's looking at all the ridiculous things that as a kid, he didn't see it, but now he does. And he's saying, Bruce, who came up with this shit? Who gave this the green light? What were you guys mm-hmm. thinking? This is ridiculous. And that's the funny part. It's just a regular guy coming at it, seeing wrestling like the average person would. Like this is, but he knows his stuff. He quotes Meltzer a lot.
Mm-hmm. He does. He's really funny. I enjoy it. But it's got to be a certain episode now. But yeah, it's good.
All right. Moving along. Do you guys in the Powell household have themed dinner nights?
Oh, gosh. No. You know.
Like those nights where, you know, if you wake up on a Wednesday morning and you don't even have to talk to Kelly or she didn't have to ask you, what do you want for dinner later? You already know it's just wacky Wednesday. It's wonton Wednesday or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. No, don't really. I don't really have that. I hate to be a party pooper. But no, we don't really have themed dinners. That would be neato if we did.
Yeah, we don't either. I think spaghetti seems to fall in there pretty regularly with the kids because mm-hmm. One or two of them doesn't have the most expansive palate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like Tuesday. We don't really have to say much. Or no, Tuesday is after we do swim lessons and we go to the Golden Arches a lot, more than I'd like to admit.
Ooh, what's your go-to there?
Oh, gosh.
Are you a nugget man? Are you a nugget man? Or are you
making me nauseous having to talk about McDonald's food again?
Oh, have you had to do that quite a bit?
So I've been getting the $5 meal deal where you can choose
either chicken or McDouble rings.
Yeah, and you get the little nugget box with it, the four nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Four nugget thing.
But I'll tell you this. And I don't mind taking. Well, I don't. It's not really a knock on McDonald's because, again, you spend time in any of these places. The people who work there. Like Dollar General, I talk about what frustrates me about Dollar General, but there are a lot of nice people that I've met at various Dollar Generals who work there. Mm-hmm. The same could be said about our local McDonald's.
Yeah.
But I order this thing, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of food for $5.
Yeah.
Kind of like do the quarter pounder, the deluxe. But why not save? We're going here a lot. I'll just save the $2 or whatever it is. You eat all that. You eat the McDouble. You eat the nuggets. You eat the small fries and the small drink. You know, and you feel like, well, that's probably still enough. And then I'm still reaching for any uneaten Happy Meal nuggets or things that the kids have left behind. It's like not enough. It's not nutritious enough.
Yeah. I mean, sons of bitches.
Yeah. McDonald's. I mean, I just wish they would throw in like some asparagus. Like, just how about
asparagus?
A McDouble, fries, and some
asparagus.
Black beans, or just like something that's normal. It's regular food.
God damn. That's disgusting.
Yeah. I just wish, like, that. Because if you think about McDonald's or Wendy's or any of these places, the combo that you order, if you let that food sit either in your car or at the restaurant, or you take it back home and look at it 30 minutes, an hour later, you don't want anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it.
But if you leave your first mistake.
Some baked beans out for an hour, you'll take a bite. Leave some mac and cheese out for 45 minutes, you'll take a bite.
That's true.
You leave some...
Shaking my head, you're I'm agreeing.
Some corn. How about some corn, McDonald's? Now I'm wanting McDonald's to be like KFC or something.
McCorn.
What do you think about KFC?
I like it. Don't get to eat it very often either, you know. They were... Such a big part of my childhood. If we ate food, I love KFC, but yeah, don't eat it very much. I was always an extra crispy guy too. I know some people swear by original recipe, but they're good. And when my parents got up there in age, you know, KFC for a while did grilled chicken. Did you ever, or it's kind of like their rotisserie style chicken?
Yeah.
They would get that all the time. And this is like when my parents were big time into low carb, and God rest my mom's soul, she's awesome, but they were into low carb. So what they would do is buy the coleslaw from KFC, and then my mom would rinse it off and make it more like her coleslaw that she would make at home, because it had a bunch of mayonnaise on it from KFC.
Wow.
So she would wash off their coleslaw and then remake it in her coleslaw image. And that always just tickled me. I thought, you know, that's not something you would ever see probably from anybody under 70 years of age.
She'd rinse it and then just retain the foundation of that slaw. But yeah, completely. And then make it like, you
know, yeah. Get all the mayo and sugar off.
Remake it in her
image of her slaw, her image slaw. But, you know, coleslaw, you got mayonnaise base. And then you got vinegar base. And we've always been a vinegar base family. I love vinegar slaw. And so, yeah, she would rinse off all the mayo and sugar and goop in a colander and then literally plop it back in a bowl and put, I guess, vinegar and whatever else, whatever other crap she put on there. And we'd have KFC vinegar slaw.
Jim, since we're talking
about
food.
Sniffling in the microphone. Oh, yes.
I love it. Blow your nose every once in a while on this show, and I'll keep it in.
I'm trying not to make. I've had the sniffles as well here, so sorry for the grossness, everybody.
While we're talking about food, didn't plan to stay on it this long, but I kind of like it. Tell the listeners how you season and marinate your steak, because I seem to remember that it's fairly straightforward, it's fairly basic, but it's got to be done a certain way. Or yeah, if you want to keep it a secret, I don't want to give away.
Oh, no, it's nothing like that. Now, my father-in-law, who makes the best steak I've ever had, he uses a wet marinade in secret. So that's my favorite way to eat steak is when he prepares it. So I don't know how he does it, but when I do it, because I can't ever match his recipe, I just do, I take it out of the fridge, you take it out of its packaging, and you pat it dry with paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, just put a liberal amount of salt, and then use real pepper, not like, you know, pepper in a can. If you have one of those pepper graters, like black pepper graters, put that on there, but you just put a ton of salt.
You basically just, you take that salt shaker and you pull the plastic three-hold or multi-hold top off and you just dump it.
Go to town, yeah. And then you put it back in the fridge and leave it for like 6 hours. And when you take it out, it'll look wet again because the steak will have soaked up all that salt. And then you can put some more salt on it before you put it on the grill. But yeah, I don't really need Dale's or anything. Dale's is tasty, but just this. And then, you know, when it's done cooking, you can make like a garlic butter to put on top of it, or a garlic butter sauce in the cast iron skillet, and, you know, cook the steak in that after it's come off the grill or in the oven. You can't beat that, man. I love that. So pretty simple.
All right, Jim.
Nothing fancy.
When you go out to eat and you order a steak and it on the menu, it's coming with the loaded bacon and some asparagus, some kind of greens. But you look at the menu, look at the sides, you're like, those au gratin potatoes look pretty good, or the loaded mash or something. Do you ever try to engage the server and say, hey, what do you recommend? Or could I swap this out? Do you try to go for, you call an audible, or do you like that straightforward steak, baked potato loaded up, maybe take the chives or the onions off, I mean the sauerkraut?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? I'm done.
Okay. It means that you had or on that.
I always have another or.
I would love to, yeah, I just go baked potato and loaded baked potato, man. I like baked potatoes, but I don't want a baked potato with just butter and sour cream and salt. I need cheddar and bacon as well, and chives.
Yeah.
There's a great place around here that does steak, and they don't bring you cheddar or bacon or chives. If you want the loaded potato, it's literally just, they give you those, you know, those tubular. Who came up with those? Why doesn't sour cream just come in like a mayonnaise or ketchup style packet? Why does it come in that thing that's like a rhomboid? You notice that?
Right.
Like who decided that was the best way to deliver oh my God, sour cream to you? It's just so weird. So they give you that, and then they give you those little packs of butter. So, I mean, that's okay, but it's not nearly as good as having the bacon and cheddar and chives, because that makes it like a meal on its own, you know? That's places up here serve giant potatoes, you know, owls and purple onion. You just do giant potatoes that you can get with all kinds of crap in them.
Jim, you know, when I worked at Firebirds and people would order baked potatoes, or I mean, they'd order steak or chicken or seafood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really don't have any problem with people's proclivities, but that's not really the right word, or their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why I had to overcomplicate that. But ordering a loaded baked potato, people would order a loaded baked potato, not all the time, but sometimes you'd get this, with everything on the side. And there was actually a button in Micros that you could just hit everything on the side. So come out with this plain potato with five ramekins encircling the plate. So the chives, the butter, the sauerkraut, so they can all just make the whole thing themselves. I get it.
Why?
On salads. Okay, look, the salad thing, you know, some people don't want the salad oversaturated, but just if it's too much butter, too much sour cream, just scoop out a little bit. And never really understood that one, but never felt it, never made anybody feel bad about it. Just it becomes a balancing act, because now that potato is, well, no, you'd bring out a separate.
I mean, hurry, people are on the edge of their seat. Like, what do you bring out? What else? What separate what? Tell us. Don't leave me hanging.
Those little side plates, you'd have to drop a BevNap on it. And most of the time, the server, at least when I was doing this, were making it. So you got to get the five ramekins put one in the middle, put four around it out there. And, oh, man.
And so you gave people the option of, we will just do all this for you. But people would say, no, I want to do all the work.
It's just certain people.
They would be like, that one time I got a loaded baked potato and it had five too many chives on there. So I want to sprinkle my green onion, chopped green onion on there myself. I mean, what's wrong with people? If you're getting a loaded tater, just load that sucker up, man.
Right.
Make it to where I can't even taste potato anymore.
I like to get started on my potato, which I always do before I cut into my steak. I'm just ready to get after that potato. But I like to stick my fork in there, and it's got a long way to go before it actually reaches the core, like the actual potato. So you've got to go through like 4 or 5 inches of butter, cream, cheese, and then you kind of finally get to the actual starch. And then you mix it all around. And then you take a bite.
Yeah. Yes. And?
Have you ever?
And? Go on.
Have you ever taken that first bite and you didn't quite stir the butter around enough? So basically you get a spoonful of 90% butter and a little bit of potato.
Oh, so you just get a big old glob of butter in your mouth? Oh, gosh. That's never good.